Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Chulin Daf Tzadi Beis. We left off two lines from the bottom of the page, right in the middle of a discussion on Daf Tzadi Aleph and Beis at the word Ella Acha. So today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas' mother, Golda Basimcha Shalom, the Neshama Shev Naliyah. So first thing we're going to do is we're going to finish our discussion relating to how Klal Yisrael is greater than the Malachim. We said yesterday how Klal Yisrael could say Shira every single day, whereas the Malachim only every now and then are allowed to say Shira, and how Klal Yisrael is able to say the Shem Hashem after just two other words. It's Shema Yisrael and then Hashem, whereas the Malachim have to wait for Kadosh, 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 and only then get to Hashem, and also how the Malachim are not allowed to sing Shira until Klal Yisrael sings Shira first. So we're going to finish up that conversation. Then the Gemara is going to talk a little bit more about the battle between Yaakov Avinu and the Malach, that someone became a Sar over somebody, and we're going to try to interpret the pasuk in Hosea about that. Then the Gemara is going to have a whole bunch of different interpretations of the vine in the dream of the Sarah Mashkim that Yosef interpreted. So what does the vine represent? What are the Shlosha Sarigim all about? So the Gemara is going to have, I think, seven different interpretations of that dream. Then the Gemara is going to talk about the Zuchus of Tzadikim and how that accomplished Yetzias Mitzrayim, and what the Zuchus of the Tzadikim among the Umas Ha'olam accomplished, and then on Amud Beis we can get back to a discussion of Gid Anasha. So the Gemara is going to talk about the status of Gid Anasha on a bird. Is it possible for a bird to ever have a Gid Anasha that would be Asir? The Gemara is going to talk about what does the Mishnah mean when it says V'chelbo Mutter. Who's that going like? Is that Lukulei Alma? What type of Chelev are we talking about that's Mutter? Then the Gemara is going to identify which parts of the Gid are Asir. There are a lot of offshoots of the primary vein of the primary Gid. Are all of those usher? So let's begin again. We're two lines from the end of the page on Daf Tzadi Aleph Amud Beis. So we just got through saying that we initially said that Sholosh Kitos Shomachay Ashar Samoshir B'Kol Yom. One says Kadosh, and one says Kadosh Hashem Tzvakos. So we challenge that. What do you mean one says Kadosh Hashem Tzvakos? I thought one of the ways that Klal Yisrael is even greater than the Malachim is that we get to say the Shema Hashem after two words, but the Malachim have to wait for three words. So how can you have a Malach that says Kadosh Hashem Tzvakos right after one word? They're already saying the shame Hashem. Ella, so says Gemara, no, we got it wrong. It's Achas Omeres Kadosh, V'Achas Omeres Kadosh Kadosh, V'Achas Omeres Kadosh 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 Hashem Tzvakos. That they all go back to the beginning of the sentence. It's the third one doesn't say Kadosh Hashem Tzvakos, it says Kadosh 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 Hashem Tzvakos. So he in fact does have to wait three other words before he's able to say the Shem Hashem. Ask the Gemara, but Vahiika Baruch, they always have to wait three words before saying the Shem Hashem. What about Baruch Kvod Hashem Mimikomo? So right after the words Baruch Kvod, the Malach is already saying the Shem Hashem. Apparently he does not have to wait three words. So says Gemara, no, it's a different kind of Malach. The Ofanim, who are from the Kisei HaKavod themselves, they're on a higher level. So the Malachi Hashareis are not allowed to say the Shem Hashem until after three words. But the Ofanim are different. They're a different Madrega of Malach, the Bayesema. Or another answer is, how we account for Baruch Kavod Hashem is Kivan Disyav Rishusa Isyahiv. That once they already, the Malachim already have Rishus to say the Shem Hashem, because they already got through the Kadosh, 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 and then followed it with the Shem Hashem, so then they can continue to recite the Shem Hashem without having to wait three other words to say the Shem Hashem, so they could say the Shem Hashem after just Baruch Kavod. Okay, so says the Gemara Vayter. Now the pasuk in Hosea describes how Vayasar el Malach Vayichal Bacha Vayischanen Lo. So Vayasar is a lashon of Sar, that one of them became someone who was like a master over the other one. So Ein Yodea Mi Nasa Sar Lami. We don't know what the pasuk means. Meaning, who is Vayichal going on? Is it that Yaakov became a Sar to the Malach, and the way to read the pasuk is Vayasar Yaakov on the Malach, and Vayuchal means that Yaakov defeated the Malach, or is it that the Malach became a Sar to Yaakov, and the Pasuk is saying Vayasar El Yaakov Malach, that the Malach was a Sar over Yaakov, and Vayuchal means that the Malach defeated Yaakov. So Kshu Omer, when the Pasuk in Chumash says Ki Sarisa Im Elohim Vim Anashim V'Tuchal, that you overpowered a heavenly figure, Havi Omer Yaakov Nasa Sar LeMalach. So we see that Yaakov became a Sar for the Malach. So the Pasuk says in Hoshea, Bacha Vayischanen Lo, Eini Yodea Mi Bacha LeMi. I don't know who cried to who. Kshu Omer Vayomer Shalcheni. When the Pasuk says Vayomer Shalcheni, that he says it's Olah HaShachar, it's morning time, and I need to go. And he says, No, Lo HaShalecha Chakim Berachtani. Yaakov Avinu says to him, Savi Omer Malach Bacha LeYaakov. So you see very clearly that it's the Malach that cried to Yaakov, meaning we're trying to interpret the Pasuk in Hoshea and using the Pasuk in Chumash to shed light on the Pasuk in Hoshea. So Bacha Ve'ischanen Lo is the Pasuk in Hoshea. We don't know who cried to who until you look at Chumash, where you see a clear conversation that the Malach says, look, I got to get out of here. Please help me out. And Yaakov holds him back a little bit. Kisarisa im Elohim ve'im Anashim. So the phrase Elohim is a reference to a Nasi. The Nasim in Eretz Yisrael are called Elohim because they had smicha. And the Pasuk says, Ad Elohim yavod var shneihem. And the Rashi Golish of Bavel didn't have smicha, and therefore they're called Anashim. They're not called Elohim. So Elohim is a Lashon Chol. It's not a Lashon Kodesh. It's obviously not a Shem Hashem. Over here we're talking about people, but it's people that had the official smicha, the original smicha. So Amar Rabba, Remez, Ramazlo, the Malach is giving a Remez to Yaakov Avinu. Sha'asidim shnei sarim latzeis mimenu, Rosh Golish of Bavel, v'nasi shebaretz Yisrael. That there are going to be two great Jewish institutions of leadership that are going to emerge from him. The concept of a Rosh Gola in Bavel and the concept of a Nasi in Eretz Yisrael. Mikan Ramaz Lo Galus. But in telling him about that, he was also being Maramis him that there's going to be a Galus, because obviously you don't need a Rosh Gola unless you have a Galus. So there was some bad news in that there was a dark lining in that silver cloud. I don't know that he was telling him. Okay, so now the Gemara brings a whole bunch of drashos from the pasuk about the dream of the Sarah Mashkim. Right, the pasuk says in Chumash, "Ubagefen shlosha sarigim vihike parachas olsa nitza hivshilu eshkaloseha anavim." So it describes all these different parts of a grapevine. What do those relate to? Ubagefen shlosha that the Geffen is a mashal to the Jewish people, and the Shlosha Sarigim, the three long vines or branches, Elu Shlosha Saregeim Hayotim Yisrael B'chol Dor V'Dor. These are the three wealthy Jews who have connections to the government that exist in every generation. Pamim Sheshnayim Kan Ve'Echad Beretz Yisrael. Sometimes two of them are in Bavel, one in Eretz Yisrael. Pamim Sheshnayim Beretz Yisrael Ve'Echad Kan. Sometimes two are in Eretz Yisrael and one is in Bavel. When they heard about this, that in every generation there are people like this that are wealthy and connected and well connected, and that they serve as people who help out the Jewish people, the Rabbanan right away looked at Rabbanu Ukva, Rabbanan Nechemia, Bnei Barte Derav, that the son of the daughter of the children of the daughter of Rav, and those are the two in Bavel, meaning they couldn't look at the one in Eretz Yisrael. They're never all three in one place, so they look at these two people who were the grandchildren of Rav and were living in Bavel and were in fact very connected to the Malchus. Rava Amar, Rava says the Shlosha Sarigim is not a reference to Jewish people who are very well connected. Elu Shlosha Sarei Goyim. These are Sarei Goyim, Shom Lamdim Zuchus Al Yisrael B'chol Dor V'Dor. These are Malachim of the Umos HaOlam that are Malamid Zuchus and Klal Yisrael up in Shemayim in each and every generation. That he darshan Sarigim, Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out, as Sarigim is Sarei Goyim, that fits the word. Tanya Reb Lazar Omer, Geffen, the third interpretation, Geffen Zeha Olam. That Geffen, unlike what we said previously, the Geffen refers to the entire world. Shlosha Sarigim Ze Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. V'hika Parachas Al Sanitza Eloi Ma'os. And when we describe a Parachas Al Sanitza, which is a branch that's not as strong as the Sarigim branches, so that's a reference to the Ma'os. Hivshilu Eshkolos Seha Anavim Elu Ashvatim. That's a reference to the Shvatim. So Amar Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua said to Rabbi Eliezer, "V'chi Marin Lo LaAdam Masha Haya." Is a dream going to be about that which already occurred? V'alo In Marin Lo LaAdam Elama Sha'asid Lios. dreams generally are predictive of the future. Ella Geffen Zetora, Ushlosha Sarigim, Elimoshvar Miriam. They did not exist yet, so it was about the future personalities of Moshe Aaron and Miriam. Viko Parach Sal Sanitza, Elu Sanhedrin. The Parach Sal Sanitza is the Sanhedrin, and if Shilu Ashkolosa Anavim, Elu Atzadikim Shabachal Dovadar, that in every generation there are going to be Tzadikim, and that's a reference to the grapes. Dreams are somewhat of a complicated sugya, right? Meaning the Gemara seems to be saying a klal over here, that dreams are always predictive of the future. The Gemara tells us, Maseches Brachos, they ain't marn lo adam b'chalomo el meir hurei libo, that whatever you're thinking about during the day, that's what you're going to dream about at night. Sometimes you have a dream, and you're like, why did I dream about that? Then you remember, oh yeah, because I was just dealing with that yesterday. Meaning that's typically what's on a person's mind. So some of the Acharim try to connect the two, that it's on topics that you're maharer b'yom, but there's something predictive about the future. Others, Rishonim, point out that there are, and it sounds this way from the Gemara, that there are just different types of dreams, that some dreams are not nonsense, and some dreams are meant to be powerful and meant to be meaningful and are significant. There's a famous Nodi B'Yehuda about dreams that there was a certain type of fish, barbuta, I think it was called, that Rabbeinu Ephraim initially was matir. And then he had a dream where they were serving him something in the dream, and it was mamish treif, what they were serving him. And he said, I can't eat that, that's treif. And they said, well, it's no different than the barbuta fish that you were just matir. And he woke up and he was all shaken up and he changed his mind. And he said, so the Nodi B'Yehuda has a discussion, should we accept halacha from dreams? Because you see, Rabbeinu Ephraim accepted halacha from dreams. So the Nodi B'Yehuda said, nah, he didn't accept the halacha from the dream. Obviously, he was not sure about this fish. And that, meaning, if he was 100% sure that it had scales, he would have attributed that dream to some other psak that he gave, and he would have said the other psak was wrong. It was obviously something that he was uncertain about to begin with. Amram Gamliel, Adayin Srichananu Lamadai, all these interpretations of the dream of the Sara Mashkim, we still need to hear what Rabbi Lazar Hamudai has to say. Demukun Lekuli B'chad Makom, because he says that the entire pasuk is all about one place. Rabbi Lazar Hamudai Omer, he says, Gefen Ze Yerushalayim, Shlosh Hasarigim Ze Mikdash, Melech, the Kohen Gadol. That's a reference to the Beis Hamikdash, the Melech, and the Kohen Gadol. Viiko Parach Selsanitza, Elu Pirchei Kohuna. That's a reference to the young Kohanim who work in the Beis Hamikdash. Hivshilu Eshkolosea Anavim, Elu Nesachim. So it's all about what goes on in Yerushalayim Atika. It's all about what goes on in the Makom Hamikdash. Reb Shubat Levi Mukum Lab B'Matanos. That he says it relates to the gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Klal Yisrael. Dam Reb Shubat Levi. Gefen zot Torah. The Torah is a matana that Hashem gave to Klal Yisrael. Shlosh Surigim, the Shlosh Surigim are the Be'er, Amun, Anon, Uman. Those are the three gifts that we got in the Midbar over the 40 years. Vihiko Paracha, Salsanitza, Elu HaBikurim, that HaKadosh Baruch brings us into an Eretz Tova, Mleya Peros, and from that we're able to bring Bikurim when the new Peros grow. Hivshilu Ashkolosea Anavim, Elu Nesachim. Those are the Nesachim, which is a reflection of the fact that we have wine, we have oil, we have all the goodness of the land. So all of these things are gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Klal Yisrael. Rabbi Yirmiya Bar Abba Omer, Gefen Elu Yisrael. That the Gefen is the Jewish people. V'cheinu Omer, where I get the idea that Gefen relates to the Jewish people? Because the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Gefen mi Mitzrayim Tasiya, and then it describes Tegarish Goyim Vatito Eha, took out or uprooted Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim to Hashem, took them to Eretz Yisrael and banished the seven nations that were otherwise populating Eretz Yisrael and put the Jewish people there. Shlosha Sarigim, Elu Shlosha Regalim. The Shlosha Sarigim are Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. She Yisrael Olin Behen B'chol Shana V'Shana. That the Jewish people make a Goaliyah L'Regel every year, three times a year. V'iko Parachas Al Sanitza, He gives Man Shal Yisrael Lifros V'Lirbos. That it came time for Klal Yisrael to expand, to multiply. V'cheinu Omer, the Pasuk says, V'nei Yisrael paru v'yishritzu, also Nitza, he gives man shel Yisrael ligoel. Nitza is a reference to Geula, that the time came for us to have Geula, to be redeemed from Mitzrayim. V'cheinu omer v'yaz nitzcham al begadai v'chol malbushai egolti. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responding why his begadim are red, and he says because the blood splattered on his clothing, and therefore all the clothing got dirty. That the Mitzrim were going to suffer significant punishments. Why is it that in the dream of the Sarah Mashkim, the word kos appears three times? It says, "Vekos paro biyadi ve'akachas anav meskato samel." Kos paro ve'tenes ha'kos al kaf paro. So why is kos paro three times? So it's referring to the three levels of paranus that the paro and Mitzrayim had to suffer. Echad sheshasi b'yimei Moshe, one overall in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. Ve'echad sheshasi b'yimei paro necho, and one in Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Mitzrayim in Sefer Yirmiyahu. Ve'echad sheasidu lishtos im kol ovdei chavim, and one when all the nations that are not nice to the Jewish people are going to suffer their ultimate punishment. So Mitzrayim is going to suffer that along with everybody else. There's a Yalkut Shimoni that says that Rabbi Yudon, Rabbi Chaba Bar Chanina, Rabbi Yitzchak all said that Las Lava Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Paro, drink your kos, and he's going to say, Ribono Shlom, I already drank my kos in Olam Hazeh. And he said, no, what you drank was just a drop of the kos. But now you have to drink the rest of the kos, meaning that there is more in store for the suffering of Mitzrayim. Amalei Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Yirmi Bar Abba, Kidarsh Lu Rav, Lahani Krai Ba'agadta, when Rav would explain these psukim of the dream of the Sarah Maskim, of the Sarah Mashkim, and he would darshan them, Kavasach Darsh Lu, he would darshan like you. So he tells Rabbi Yirmi Bar Abba, your drush is the best drush. So that was the way Rav would darshan it. Amrab Shimon Lakash, Umazu Kegefen Nimshala, the Jewish people, excuse me, our nimshal to a geffen, that we're compared to a grapevine, that zmura shaba, the branches elu balebatim, that's a reference to the balebatim within the Jewish people. Maybe from those zmuros, from those branches, there are leaves, and there are smaller branches that emerge from them. So too, Rashi explains, the Balei Batim are Gomlei Chesed, and they support the Aniyim, and they give their money, they use their money to pay off the government on behalf of the Jewish people, to represent the Jewish people. So the Balei Batim, who make the money and who are able to use their money for good things, for positive things, that's the Zmoros. Eshkolo Shaba, Eilu Tamidu Chavim, the clusters of grapes, excuse me, is a reference to the Talmidei Chachamim in Klal Yisrael. The Gemara says in Besecha Sotra, Daf Mem Zayin, that when Yossi ben Yozer Ish Sreda and Yossi ben Yehuda Yishu Yishlaim died, Batlu HaEshkolos, and Eshkolos means that an Isha Kol Bo, that they had that Torah that was pure, that was clear, so that Kala Torah Kula, that's what Eshkolos means, that they had everything. So that's why Eshkolos is referenced to Talmidei Chachamim. Olin Shaba Elu Ame Aretz. The leaves are the Ame Aretz. Rashi explains that the leaves protect the Eshkolos from wind and from things that could damage it. So Ame Aretz also do the plowing and the harvesting, and they work the field so that Talmid Chum are able to sit and learn, because there are other people taking care of the work that needs to get done. And Kenoknos Shaba, the small branches, Elu Rekadim Shabi Yisrael, the small branches that serve no functionality and don't do anything, that's the Rekadim Shabi Yisrael. That's the people who don't do anything and don't really accomplish anything on behalf of the community. And that's what they said from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Liboy Rachamim Iskalia Aliloya, that we should be Mvakish Rachamim, that the Eshkolos on the leaves, the Dilmoli Alia, meaning the Eshkolos, the Talmid Chachamim, should daven for the Alim, for the Amei Aretz, Dilmoli Alia, because if not for those leaves, for those Amei Aretz, Lo Miskaimin Iskalia, then the Eshkolos would not survive. So the Talmidei Chachamim should daven for the Amei Aretz, because they're only going to be Metzliach, because the Amei Aretz are able to provide the work that needs to be done in order for the Talmidei Chachamim to be able to sit and learn. Now, this is not an uncomplimentary Gemara about Amei Aretz. You know, normally when Chazal talk about Amei Aretz, they speak in very negative terms about Amei Aretz. There's a whole amud in Maseches Pesachim and Daf Mem Tes that talks about how don't ever travel with an Amaretz because he's going to kill you. And now the Amaretz are out to get us, and that you're allowed to rip open an Amaretz like a fish because he's awful, and you should gut him, and horrible things about an Amaretz. So you have to say, and the Achronim point this out, is that there are different types of Amaretz. Sometimes you have an Amaretz who's just not so knowledgeable in Torah, doesn't have much of a Torah education, but is a good-hearted person who's trying to do his best to support the Jewish community and the Talmid Chachamim as well. And sometimes you have Amei Aretz that can't stand the Talmid Chachamim and that are adversarial about everything. So it's a different type of an Amei Aretz. Says the Gemara further now. Since Rabbi Yirmiya Bar Abba darshan the pasuk begefen shlosh shesrigim to be about Yitzias Mitzrayim, so we'll talk further about Yitzias Mitzrayim. The pasuk in Hosea says that krai li b'chamisha asar kesef, and it says v'chomer sorim v'lasech Sa'orim. So the Hashem was talking to Hosea and told Hosea to take a woman who's an adulterer and use her as a mashal to Klal Yisrael, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Klal Yisrael even when we're in Galus, and and nevertheless they act like an Isha Min HaEfes, they act like an adulterous woman where they turn to Elohim Acherim, and the Navi says over there that he bought the Isha for Chamisha Asar Kesef. So Chazal darshan that the pasuk is the HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying this about Klal Yisrael. So what does it mean? So Amar Rabbi Yochum Mishum Rabbi Shimon Yad Tzadik, Ein Kira Elo Lashon Mechira. That Kira is a Lashon of sale, of Mechira, Shenemar, because the pasuk says when Yosef tells Paro about after Yaakov Avinu died, that his father had made him swear that he's got to be buried B'kivri Asher Karisili. So Karisili means Karisili, that I had purchased that kever. Yaakov had purchased it from Esav. The Gemara in Sota Daf Yud Gimel tells us the whole story that when Yaakov Avinu's Mita got to the Ma'aris HaMechpela, Esav tried to prevent him from being buried, and he said, why is it called Kiryat Arba? It's because of the Arba Zugos, Adam and Chava, Avram, Sarah, Yitzchak, and Rivka, and Yaakov buried Leah there in his Chelek, and the remaining Chelek belongs to me, so Esav said. So the Bnei Yaakov said, what do you mean? You sold that Chelek when you sold the Bechorah. Esav said, I sold the chelek b'chora. I didn't sell the chelek pashut. I didn't sell the other chelek. So they said, yes, you did. You sold the chelek pashut. It's right there in the shtar. He said, what shtar? You got to show me your shtar. So in the meantime, when they were running back to get the shtar, Chushim ben Dan killed Esav. So it's a reference to some sort of transaction that happened. So ve'ekrehoi, we see Zalashim Mechira. So that's talking about the gula of Am Yisrael. The Kodesh Baruch was telling us that he had purchased Am Yisrael. That b'chamisha asr zeh chamisha asr b'nisan shabo nigalu Yisrael mimitzrayim. B'chamisha asr is a reference to Pesach, the 15th day of Nisan, where the Gula happened. Kesef elu tzadikim. Kesef is a reference to the tzadikim. The Kodesh Baruch was kona Am Yisrael because of the tzadikim. V'cheinu omer, how do I know the tzadikim are called kesef? Because the pasuk says in Mishlei, tzorara kesef lokach biyado. And the pasuk means that Kodesh Baruch Hu took the tzaddikim to him, he killed the tzaddikim. Who are the tzaddikim that Klal Yisrael was zocha to geula on behalf of? It's the chomer sa'orim v'lesach sa'orim. A chomer is 30 se'in, a lesach is 15 se'in. So chomer sa'orim v'lesach sa'orim means there are 45 sa'a. So elu arba'im v'chamisha tzaddikim sha'olam skayim behem. That's a reference to the 45 tzaddikim that the entire world exists on behalf of. There's a different Maimon Chazal, not the Lamed Vav, but 45, that there are 45 tzaddikim that keep the world going. We're not sure where they're located. Is it 30 in Bavel and 15 in Eretzol? Or 30 in Eretzol, 15 in Bavel? So Kshomer, when the pasuk says in Zechariah that 30 kesef are the 30 tzaddikim, the Beis Hashem is Eretz Yisrael. So we see that Taviomer Shloshim Eretz Yisrael. So the 30 are in Eretz Yisrael. V'chamisha asar kan and 15 in Bavel. Amar Rabbi, most of those 30 tzaddikim in Eretz Yisrael are mishtachim beknishta detusi afta. They're basically like in a garage somewhere. They're not in the chash of a place. They're not in. You're not going to find them in some some big maimed somewhere. They're not sitting on a dais, whatever. So v'hainu d'chsiv, and that's what the pasuk says in the Nevuah of Zechariah. V'omer aleim im tov be'einechem havu schari v'im lo chadu v'yishkulu eschari shloshim kesef. That Kodesh Baruch Hu tells the Yom HaSolam, give back my schar of these tzaddikim from Klal Yisrael that in their zuchus, you receive all of your schar that you were that you have. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Elu Shloshim Tzaddikei Umas Ha'Olam. No, it's a reference to the 30 tzaddikim among the Umas Ha'Olam. Shumas Ha'Olam Eskaimim Aleihem. That the Umas Ha'Olam are allowed to continue to exist on in their merit. Ula Amar Elu Shloshim Mitzvot Shekibul Aleihem Bnei Noach. No, no, this is a reference to the 30 mitzvot Bnei Noach. Ve'in Mekaimin El Shlosha, and they only really fulfill 3 of these 30 mitzvot. So right off the bat, 30 mitzvot Bnei Noach. What are these 30 mitzvot Bnei Noach? The Gemara in Sanhedrin more famously says that there are 7 mitzvot Bnei Noach, that there aren't 30 mitzvot Bnei Noach. So the Ramami Panu says, the 7 mitzvot Bnei Noach actually break down into 30 mitzvot. I mean, it's like the Aseres Hadibros, there's Machlokes Rishonim, how many mitzvot are in the Aseres Hadibros, but nobody says 10, right? It's somewhere between 13 and 17. So the 7 mitzvot Bnei Noach actually cover 30 different mitzvot. So, and he enumerates them. We're not going to go through the whole list of 30. But they only actually keep 3 of them. What are the 3 that they keep? So, Achashen Kosum Ksubu L'Zacharim. Number one is that even though they do Mishkav Zachar, at least they don't have gay marriage. They don't write a Ksuba for Zacharim. They were, they maintain some level of order and dignity. Va'achashen Shoklin B'sar Meis B'makulin. And the other is that they could be that they're cannibals, but they wouldn't sell it in a public market. You're not going to find in your local A&P that there's human meat. It's a black market for those types of things. That's how Rashi understands. And Rashi has another interpretation that it means basar mace doesn't mean a basar of a human being that died. We don't assume people are cannibals. It means a basar of an animal that dropped dead from illness. And the third, that they are mechabed the Torah. So those are the 3 mitzvot that they do. Okay, back to Gid HaNasha now. So we said in the Mishnah that the Yisur of Gid HaNasha is knowing by a behemo b'chaya, but ve'eino knowing ba'of. But it's not knowing by an oaf, because an oaf doesn't have a Gid HaNasha. So v'hakach zin disle. What do you mean? An oaf has a kafa yarech. It does have a Gid HaNasha. What are you talking about? So it says more isle v'lo agil. It does, but it's not rounded. And therefore, it's more straight. And when the Torah says, al-kein lo yochlu b'nei sol's Gid HaNasha asher al kaf hayarech, it means to asur a gid of a behemah and a chaya, where the tzura of the kaf hayarech is like the tzura of a kaf hayarech of a human being, that it has a rounded shape. So Bar Rabbi Yirmi, Rabbi Yirmi says, okay, so then I have a shayla. Is it about that there's no gid hanasha by oaf, or is it about that it needs to be rounded like the kaf hayarech? Islay lo fagil, if you were to find a bird that has a rounded gid hanasha, islay the behemah v'lo agil, or if you have a behemah that doesn't have a rounded gid hanasha, so my, then what would the din be? So basu diteyas linan, do we follow each behemah in its own right and each oaf in its own right, and therefore an oaf where it's rounded in the thigh area will be knowing the Yisur of Gid HaNasha, and a behemoth where it's not rounded, we won't be knowing the Yisur of Gid HaNasha? Or do we look at the min? That a min of behemoth v'chaya is all in one category, and therefore we're knowing the Yisur of Gid HaNasha regardless of the particular animal that you're presented with, and an oaf in the category of oaf. We don't have Gid HaNasha. So says Gemara, teku, we leave it unresolved. So the Rambam, Pirush HaMishnayis, as well as in the 8th Parak of Machalos Asuros, and the Or Zeruah quotes Rabbeinu Chanan, that if a person is presented with an oaf that has a kaf yarech that's agula, that is round, the gid hanasha will taka biaser. And likewise, if you have a behema where the kaf yarech is not rounded, it's also going to be aser, because we go luchumra misafek. And the Or Zeruah then quotes from his Rebbe that even though an oaf has a kaf agula, the gid hanasha is going to be aser. But since we don't have such ofos, the shochtim don't have to look for it. Meaning, since it's so unkind, even though it's true that we're machmir, the Gemara leaves it as a take. But it's such an unusual thing for a bird to have a rounded off gid hanasha, so therefore we don't have to look for it. Meaning, similar to the dinim of trefos, that we have all these trefos that could come up, but most of them are very, very, very rare. And since they're so rare, we don't have a requirement to look for it. It's a miut sheino matzui, so we don't have to look for it. Even though statistically, if you think about it, how many chickens have you eaten from in the course of your lifetime? Right? Probably in a week, an average person person eats from, even if like there's a bowl of, I was thinking about this last week at a Kiddush, there were chicken fingers on a plate. So if you have one with the, with the breading and one with the grilled, and one, you probably just ate from three different chickens, right? So in one shot, just at a Kiddush before you got to lunch. So I don't know, on a typical week, you eat from 10 chickens? So over the course of your life, we've definitely eaten treif, right? Meaning we've definitely eaten from treifos that are very, very rare, that are exceedingly rare. But the halacha says that you don't have to look for these things when they're exceedingly rare. So it could be that there are birds like this, but we don't have to look for it. Now, this broader topic of do you look at the individual or do you look at the min is a topic that comes up elsewhere. The Ramban in our sugya says, well, wait a second, isn't this exactly the shaila about which arm a lefty should put tefillin on? Meaning, do we look at Yamin Didei or do we look at Yamin de Kulei Alma? Meaning, do we look at his story and his story is left hand is stronger, or do we look at the majority of people and the majority of people their right hand is stronger? So why does the lefty put tefillin on the right hand? Why don't we say that we have to be choshesh, that maybe we look at the world? So he says, no, there's a gzeiros hakasav by tefillin, that the pasuk says yadcha, and we darshin yad keha, that it should be put on the weaker hand, so whatever it is, your weaker hand. Furthermore, the Ramban says, we always look at that person or that behema. It's just that by the gira nasha, there's a reason to follow the min, because it happened based on the maisa shahaya with Yaakov Avinu. So, Yaakov and his min have a kaf that's ugul. So too, any min that has a kaf that's ugul. So that's a meaning either tefillin is the exception or Giranash is the exception. Nafkamina would be, what if you have another area of halacha where we need to know, do I look at this individual, do I look at people in general? And there is such another area of halacha. What do you do with chalitza for a lefty, right? Where do you do, which foot do you do chalitza on? The Gemara Darshan regal from Mitzara, that ma Mitzara be yamin, av chalitza be yamin. So there's a machlokas. What if the person is a lefty? Does yamin mean yamin didei, or does he mean yamin dekuli alma? So some rishonim take a stand, and they say, no, it must mean his left foot. Some say, no, it must mean his right foot. Some say, you gotta do both, because we don't know. Others say, you can't do anything, because we don't, it doesn't work. His yamin has to also be the yamin dekuli alma. So big discussion in the rishonim that all starts from the Ramban, talking about our Gemara's teku over here. So v'noig b'shlil, we then said that Gila Nasha is noig on a shlil, and that Rabbi Yehuda said that it's ein noig b'shlil. So according to the Tanakhama, the issue of Gila Nasha applies to a full-term pregnancy, a fetus of a full-term pregnancy that's found alive inside the behema after the shkita. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, there is no such issue of Gila Nasha. So Amar Shmuel, the chelbo mutter, divrei kol. When it says chelbo mutter, that's not the end of Rabbi Yehuda's sentence. That everybody agrees to, that it's chelbo mutter. So chelbo demai, what chelev are we talking about? Ilim shlil, if we're talking about the chelev that would normally be usher in an animal, but it's in a fetus that was full term. So v'hamiflik pligi pei, or even that's a machlokas from Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, whether the chelev of a shlil is mutter or not. Titania, we have a price that spells it out. Noig b'shlil, the chelbo usher, divrei Rabbi Meir, that giranash is noig b'shlil, its chelev is usher ba'achil according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda, the chelev of the shlil is going to be mutter ba'achila. So v'amra b'lozer, amra b'yoshaya, machlokas b'ben tishachai. The machlokas is by a ben tishachai, that it was a living full-term pregnancy that's found after yeshech the mother. V'halach Rabbi Meir l'shitaso, v'Rabbi Yehuda l'shitaso. And everybody's going l'shitaso, based on what we saw in the Mishnah back on Daf Ayin Dalit, where there's a machlokas, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, if an ubar that's full-term term that's found alive after you shech the mother, what's its status? And according to Rabbi Meir, since it's full term, it's no longer included in that which the Torah says, v'kol ba'behema osa tochelu, and therefore it requires shechita, because it was not nitar al yidei the shechita of the mother. And since it's considered its own independent entity, it's not kafuf to the mother, it's not tafel to the mother, so the Brisa says, you have all the regular dina, Isurim. You have Chelev, and you have Gid, and you have all the regular Isurim. But Rabbi Yehuda says that an Uber that's a full-term pregnancy is included in V'chol B'behem HaTocheilu, and it's Mutter B'shchit Asimo. And therefore, the Brice is saying that there's no Isur of Chelev, and there's no Isur of Gid, because the Torah allows eating this behema in its entirety. So it turns out that according to Rabbi Meir, the Chelev of the Shlul is Asur. So how can Shmuel say that the Chelev is Mutter L'divrei HaKol? It's not L'divrei HaKol. According to Rabbi Meir, it's Asur. We must be talking about the Shuman that's on the Gid Hanasha of every behema and Chaya, and that's what Shmuel is saying, that everyone agrees that that Shuman is Mutter B'Achila. Is that true? HaMifot Pligiba. But that's also Machlokas Tanayim. Titanya, Gid Hanasha Mechatit Achrav B'Kol Makom Shehu. The Gid Hanasha, you have to dig, because some of it is exposed, but some is hidden under the Basar, so you need to go dig it out. V'chotich Shabno Me'ikaro. And you have to cut out all the fat that surrounds the gid that's embedded into the basar in that area. Divrei Meir, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Gomo Mashofi. You don't need to cut out the gid and all the shoman and all in the depths of the basar. You cut the gid and the shoman that's on top of it, where it's evident, where it presents itself, and you just even it out with the basar. But whatever is embedded in the basar, that's going to be mutter. So apparently, according to Rabbi Meir, the shoman gid is going to be aser. So how can Shmuel say that it's a mutter l'divrei HaKol? So the olam chelbo d'gid. Really, we are talking about the shuman that's on the gid. And Shmuel is saying it's mutter l'divrei HaKol. He means it's mutter l'divrei HaKol on a doraisa level. You're right, Rabbi Meir asers it. Midrabanan. Umoda Shmuel de Rameir midrabanan aser. Shmuel is moda that when Rameir asers it, that Rameir asers it, but only on a drabanan level. What's the raya? That's true, d'tanya. V'shamno mutter v'yisrael kadoshim nagu bo iser. That someone holds, there is a Tana that holds that technically it was mutter, but Yisrael Kedoshim treated as Isser. So my love Rabbi Meir, so isn't that Rabbi Meir? Because the Brisa says that Bnei Yisrael are no Yisser in Shuman Agid, so it must be that it's Rabbi Meir, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not Asser at all. We're not no Yisser. So it turns out that Damar mutter min HaTorah v'Asser midrabanan. That Rabbi Meir holds that it's mutter min HaTorah and it's Asser midrabanan. How then can you say that it's mutter l'divrei HaKol if Rabbi Meir really holds that it's Asser midrabanan? I mean, we're trying to explain a line that said that, everyone holds that it's mutter. Well, if you just told me that a mayor holds that it's asa midrabanan, so obviously not everybody holds that it's mutter. So the Ritva writes that since it was initially, it was not a gzeirah drabanan, it was Yisrael Kedoshim Nagu Bo Isser, and then the Rabbanan sort of caught up with the people, and they said, okay, once Yisrael Kedoshim Nagu Bo Isser, we'll formalize it as a gzeirah. So that's why everyone held it was mutter. I mean, from a rabbinic perspective, it was mutter. It's just that it became Usr because the people sort of voted in that Isr. The Ramban, the Rashba, the Ran, they say, no, it was never formalized as an Isr. When we say, it doesn't mean that the Rabbanan Asr did it. It was a Minhag Yisrael not to eat it. And Midrabanan, you're not allowed to violate Minhag Yisrael. So that's Midrabanan that it's Asr. But technically, it's Mutter. So Mimai, what's the Hechrich that the Braisa is reflecting the opinion of Rabbi Meir? Dilma Rabbi Yehuda, maybe it's going like Rabbi Yehuda. Avle Rabbi Meir midaraisa nami aser. Maybe Rabbi Meir would hold that it's aser on a daraisa level. So we're back to the kasha on Shmuel. How can he say that everyone agrees that the chelev of the gid is mutter min haTorah? According to Rabbi Meir, maybe it's really aser min haTorah. So lo salkadaitach. It cannot be that it's following Rabbi Yehuda. D'tanya, because the Braisa says that gid anasha mechateit acharav b'kol makom shuhu v'sham no mutter. That you got to dig it out wherever it is, and the shuman is mutter. So man sham le disay chatito. Who's the shita that holds? You have to dig it out. Whatever's embedded in the basar, that's Rabbi Meir. That we already saw Rabbi Meir in the brisa that you need to be machatit acharav. Rabbi Yehuda said you could just even it out with the surface of the basar. Vika amar sham no mutter, and it says that the shuman is mutter. So it turns out l'chora that it's a steer in the brisas, because the brisa that we're quoting over here, Rabbi Meir says the shuman is mutter, whereas the brisa that we quoted earlier said that you need to cut out all the shuman. So in order to be miyashiv this theory, you have to say that the Braisa previously was talking on a drabana level, that midrabana you need to cut it all out, and the Braisa over here is talking on a doraisa level. On a doraisa level, you don't need to cut it all out. So Amar Rav Nachman Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Mata Amar Rav Lo Asra Torah Ela Kno Kanos Shabo, that the Torah asks the small gidin that emerge from the outer outer gid and go more toward the inside. Only those are aser because they are soft, they have taste to them, they have flavor to them, they're ro'i la'achila. But the gid itself is kasha ke'etz, doesn't taste like anything, is not ro'i la'achila, and therefore the Torah never asers it. Ulamar etzu ha'Torah chiva alav. That you're right, it's etz, and it's not ro'i la'achila, and afal pikein, the Torah says that you're chayiv malchus if you eat it. But the kenoknos, the Torah does not aser, even though those are edible. Amar Abaye Kavasi Dul Mesavr, it's most Mesavr like Ula, Amar Rav Sheish Sam Ravasi, Chutin Shabachelev, these strands that are in the Chelev Asurin, Vein Chayav Nalem, but you're not Chayav Karis for them. Amar Chelev Amar Rachmano Velo Chutin. So Achanami, Gin Amar Rachmano Velo Kenokanos, that just like the Chelev means the primary source of Chelev and not the Chutin that emerged from it, so too the Gid means the primary Gid and not the small veins that emerge from it. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up with Gufa. Everyone have a wonderful day and a good Shabbos.